Hi, SD Besties, and welcome back to the Sounds Like Spell podcast. But for those of you who don't know, the Sounds Like Spell podcast is your resource for all things spa, skincare, esthetician-based excitement. So today I'm super excited because I have Terry with me, Terry Wojak. I will let her introduce herself in a second, but we are going to be talking about We are going to be talking about cellular aging today. So she is going to, we're going to get our little science nerd caps on and we're going to deep dive into this topic. But one last thing, in case you didn't know, I'm your host, Maggie Walker. I'm the associate managing editor of Skin Ink Magazine. So yeah, Terry, take it away. You introduce yourself now. I'm probably doing
all right. Thanks, Maggie. Okay. So I am Terry Wojak. I am the author of Aesthetics Exposed, if any of you have it. I also have a company called Aesthetics Exposed Education, where I have several online classes, where I have in-person classes, and a lot of education available. So I've been an esthetician for, I hate saying it, wait, how many years? So I'm going to be 50, so almost 30 years. And yeah, I love everything about skin. I love educating is my passion. So I teach, I write for Skin Ink, and write for myself, for my book, and that's about it.
Let's jump into today's topic then. So, I mean, let's just start off strong and just go into cellular aging. Like, let's just like cover that umbrella just to start. So what is it? Just you take it away.
Okay. So cellular aging, just like we age, our cells age. So because our cells age is actually why we age. So, you know, when our cells are in that aging stage, we get so many different things that happen that can lead to those visible signs of aging. So when we talk about aging, we're always talking about, okay, fine lines and wrinkles and sagging skin and loss of subcutaneous fat and things like that, but we're not really talking about what's happening on a cellular level. So we need to know why we're getting those fine lines and wrinkles, why we're getting the loss of subcutaneous fat, and why our skin isn't that vibrant as it was when we were younger. So some of the things that happen with cellular aging are a reduction in cell turnover. You know, when we're young, our cells turn over very fast. Typically, it should be about 28 to 30 days. And as we age, like when we get to like the 50s and 60s, our cell turnover slows down to anywhere from about 45 to 90 days. So, you know, just that alone, we have that decrease in those new healthy cells. And sometimes we get rough, dry skin on the surface as well, because we have those dead skin cells not being shed off. We also get DNA damage. So DNA damage is, you know, our DNA is our blueprint for our cells. So when we get damage to DNA, basically what happens is we keep replicating damaged cells. And that can lead to photoaging, eventually precancerous lesions, and eventually cancerous lesions. So DNA damage is mainly caused from oxidative stress. And oxidative stress is your smoking, your stress, eating bad, unhealthy lifestyle, you know, just really not taking care of yourself and doing things that are harmful to your body is really where you're going to get that DNA damage. And when you have DNA damage, we do have something called apoptosis, where our body is supposed to get rid of damaged cells. So what happens is when we get a damaged cell, we want that cell to be destroyed so it doesn't keep replicating. So that is called apoptosis. And apoptosis also slows down as we age. So we're not going to get rid of those damaged cells as quickly and as easily. So then we have damaged cells lingering around. Yes. Okay.
That makes sense. I'm following. Yes. I'm following.
All right. Any questions so far? All right. So with the DNA damage, there's not a lot we can do for DNA damage. There are ingredients and treatments that I'll talk about that are going to help overall with cellular aging, but nothing that specifically targets that DNA. Also, our telomere shorten. So telomeres are basically the caps at the end of chromosomes. So they're kind of like if you think of those little things at the end of your shoelaces, I forgot what they're called. They have a name.
I do have a name.
They do have a name, but they're the plastic on the end of your shoelaces. And what happens is as we age, those shorten and shorten and shorten, and that creates those visible signs of aging as well because it creates overall cellular aging. Yes.
Wow.
We also get mitochondrial dysfunction. So our mit I know I'm speaking like all sciencey.
No, I'm like, I feel like we've got so much just going against us with this aging thing. Like you're like,
I know
get this. There's one more thing.
I know. See, this is why I'm upset I'm turning 50. Okay. So we also get mitochondrial dysfunction. So our mitochondria is basically the powerhouse of our cell, and it is responsible for creating ATP. ATP is our cellular energy, and as we age, we get less and less cellular energy. So we get less creation of that ATP. So we need to do treatments and use products to stimulate that ATP so that we have healthier skin. We get altered cell signaling. So, with communication, our cells are constantly in communication with each other. And as we age, sometimes that communication can get altered. So
Okay.
when that communication is altered, we can have like overproduction of pigment and be getting more melanin. So more, pigmentation on the skin. So it can trigger, the communication is very important in the skin. That all leads to changes in the extracellular matrix, which is basically our collagen, our elastin, our glycosaminoglycans. Okay. Glycosaminoglycans are like the ground substance for our proteins, the collagen and elastin. So an example is hyaluronic acid.
Oh,
So
okay.
that's why we need hyaluronic acid to keep our skin nice and soft and supple. And again, as we age, we lose hyaluronic acid production. We also get increased inflammation. So doing things like going out into the sun or, even working out or being in excessive heat can trigger inflammation in the skin very easily, where it may not have when the skin was younger.
Okay.
And then there is what is called epigenetics. And epigenetics is basically we have our genes that don't change, but there are certain ex gene expression that we can turn on or off depending on what we do. Okay. So basically, that's why you see sometimes you'll see those pictures of twins. Like you'll see one that's like smoking and unhealthy, and one that's like healthy and takes care of herself. And the unhealthy one has a lot more damaged skin. Because if it were just genetics, they would have the same skin. But epigenetics is what you're doing externally that turns on or off a specific gene. Okay.
Oh, okay,
So, yeah. So the more external damage that you do, the more epigenetic changes you're going to have and the more damage you're going to have, essentially. But essentially, all this leads to senescence, which is senescence is basically your damaged cells. I call them zombie cells. They're senescent cells. Okay. So basically, they're not dead yet, but they're dying. And what they do is they release these enzymes that damage healthy cells, and they just trigger inflammation in the skin. And so we want to get rid of these senescent cells because the senescent cells, not only are they damaged, dying cells, but they're also creating damage to other cells. So that's cellular aging in a nutshell.
Is all of this kind of, I mean, I understand to an extent cellular aging is inevitable, but are there like things besides treatments, like more like lifestyle habit things
that
you might be able to do that kind of help more? Because even like when you said like even working out can cause inflammation in the skin, I was like, what's safe? What do we
do? Well, no, I mean like excess heat, like sometimes when, you know, you're older, sometimes the excess heat can kind of cause that redness in the skin and a little bit of inflammation. It's not bad for you to work out, but it's just, you know, like little things like that with excessive heat can cause inflammation.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're younger, they may not have.
You brought up treatments a couple of times. I would love to hear about like some possible treatment stuff we can do when it comes to aging.
First, let's talk a little about lifestyle, because I think lifestyle, like you said, is very, very important. And it's doing the typical things that we all know we need to do. We need to get 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night. We need to exercise. We need to get our heart rate up. We need to eat like fresh fruits, fresh vegetables. You know, limit your dairy, limit your carbs. You know, you really, it's having a healthy diet and a healthy lifestyle. You know, I mean, it's, that's really what it is being healthy as possible, not smoking, not overly drinking, not overly doing anything, you know, just kind of living life, being happy, being healthy.
No, so I can see that. I feel like you got to find the balance between like living your life, but like also being healthy and how you live your life.
Yeah. I go by the 80-20 rule, and that's just me personally. I mean, because I don't want to not let myself indulge and not let myself, you know what I mean? So that's the rule I live by. And that's just, I like it.
Same. I would for readers do the 80-20 rule too.
Yeah. Yeah. So there are senolytics. So some of the senolytics out there, quercetin is one. Quercetin is actually found in red wine. There is also fisetin, which is also found. It's like in strawberries and grapes. It's a flavonoid.
I love strawberries.
And then resveratrol, which is in a lot of products. It's a very strong antioxidant, and it also helps to reduce those senescent cells. So they're doing studies now on other pills that help, but there's a cancer drug that actually can be taken internally, dasatinib.
Wow.
And then there is, some people are doing studies now and they're saying that metformin, which is a big drug for diabetes, can actually maybe a senolytic. So treatments.
Let's dive into treatments. I feel like we've started off with a lot of, this is what's happening, and it doesn't sound great. So let's talk treatments, because I feel like that'll make it sound better. Yeah, let's talk about what we can do. I like that.
Okay. Well, number one, I think everybody needs to be on a healthy skincare regimen. So just like you need your vitamins for your body internally, you need your vitamins for your skin. And I always say to ACE it. Vitamins A, C, and E are the essentials.
That's cute.
Every single person. I think that everyone needs vitamin A to normalize their skin. It helps to normalize cell turnover. It helps to trigger collagen and elastin production. It helps to increase the communication between cells. It helps to increase hyaluronic acid production. So vitamin A is kind of like your main skin vitamin that is going to do everything it needs to basically make the skin in a healthier state. And then your vitamin C is your very strong, potent antioxidant that you need in the morning. And I always say to ace it, because C and E are always used together because they work synergistically. So C boosts E, E boosts C. So you get a more potent antioxidant with the C and E combined. The vitamin C also Vitamin C is needed for collagen growth. It is part of the collagen production. So using vitamin C, we need, especially when we're doing treatments and products that are triggering collagen production, we need that vitamin C to help to support it.
And this is like in topical skincare.
Topical skincare.
Got it.
Yep. And I still think everyone should take like at least a multivitamin or something at home. We're eating enough of the fruits and vegetables, So the vitamins topically and internally.
And internally, yeah.
Okay. And then peptides. So peptides are basically they're building blocks. They help to build proteins. There are several different types of peptides, but most often used for aging are going to be those signal peptides.
Okay.
Signal peptides are like your Matrixyl 3000,
Okay, yeah, I
Matrixyl
see those a
66.
lot.
Yeah. So those are all the peptides that trigger collagen and elastin production. So they're like a signal that helps to signal the fibroblasts to produce more collagen and elastin. Make
It.
sense?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So there are also your peptides, though. There's like your neuropeptides. So your neuropeptides help to reduce muscle contraction over time. So those are what people like to call Botox or Notox or
Oh, okay.
Botox in a bottle, but they're technically not. I mean, you can't say that because you're comparing it to a pharmaceutical drug. But basically, what it does is instead of completely blocking muscle contraction, like the pharmaceutical drugs do, it basically slows it down over time. So you're using it morning and night on the areas that you would get Botox, and it slows down the release of, it's called acetylcholine, which is a neurotransmitter that makes the muscle contraction.
Got it. Okay.
So that's another. And then we have carrier peptides. So carrier peptides help to deliver other ingredients into the skin. And those are used in every type of skincare.
Yeah. No, this is really exciting because actually peptides are supposed to be a like huge 2024 skincare trend. Like there's
Yeah.
kind of pop off. I feel like 2023 was all about like anything skin barrier related, and 2024, like a big push on peptides is going to happen.
Yeah. I mean,
And
there's so many new ones too. Like
yeah.
there's always a new peptide coming out, and there are peptides now that help with pigmentation. There are peptides now that help with acne. Like there are peptides that kind of help with everything.
Yeah, I
They're
feel like
actually studying. Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say I feel like they're getting very specific. Like the peptides,
Yeah.
they're getting more and more specific for like uses and why they're in the skincare.
Definitely.
But
Yeah, they're actually studying neuropeptides for acne because they say it may reduce the sebum production.
oh, wow, that's cool.
So exosomes are new, but exosomes, a lot of people are talking about now. And exosomes are basically, they're messengers and they're like little vesicles and they help to signal within the skin. And if they are formulated right, they can signal specific things. So it's just because they can signal bad things and good things. So you only want to get exosomes that can signal good things, obviously. They're bioengineered. But exosomes are one of the latest and greatest ingredients out there that are going to help with anti-aging because they stimulate growth factors, which trigger collagen and elastin production.
We love.
So those are great. And then overall for cellular reduction, like niacinamide, vitamin B3 is very good. Hyaluronic acid, because we do lose that hyaluronic acid. So there are now hyaluronic acid building ingredients as well as hyaluronic acid.
Oh,
Yeah.
I'm a hyaluronic acid girl. I'm a dry skin girly. So, like, I just love how I like anything that says hyaluronic acid. I trust it
Oh, me too. I love it. The best.
Tastes so good.
Yeah, it does. So I'm trying to think. Alpha hydroxy acids are always good to help to
Oh, okay.
increase that cell turnover. Growth factors and stem cells are good, but just make sure you're going with a reputable company. Just because, there's still some question out there or controversy as to how they react with the cells and, how they're working. But typically, if you're going with a reputable company, you should be good.
All right. So I was
Treatments.
going to say, are we good with that? Were there like specific treatments in the treatment room we were going to talk about, or?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So well, first I was talking about ingredients. So,
No, yeah, ingredients are kind of key to knowing, I feel like.
yeah. And I feel like everyone, we always do things opposite. We go right for the treatment because the treatment's the big guns, but we don't think when our client first comes in, we need to give them their topical skincare so that they can see the results with the treatments because their skin is going to be in a healthier state.
Yeah, you're kind of playing with that. Like, how often do you see me for the treatment versus how often are you doing your skincare at home?
Right.
You need both, obviously.
Yes, absolutely. So chemical peels are great. They are going to help with that cell turnover. So they're going to help to get rid of damaged dead cells, help to increase the production of new healthy cells. Depending on the acid and the strength of the peel, you can trigger collagen elastin production as well because it does trigger a minor wound response in the skin.
Oh, okay.
Chemical peels too as well. So that's going to help overall with that texture, that smoothness, and that turnover. And then microneedling. So microneedling is one of my favorite treatments too. Like chemical peels and microneedling are my two go-tos. Microneedling is basically what we're doing is we are creating micro channels in the skin to trigger a minor wound response. So by triggering that wound response in the skin, everything is working quicker. You're triggering that collagen elastin to be produced. You're triggering a wound healing response, which may get rid of some of those senolytic cells because you're helping to, and it's helping with cellular communication. So kind of like vitamin A is a skin normalizer as an ingredient, I feel like microneedling is like a skin normalizer as a treatment. Because all you're doing is you're not putting anything into the skin, any heat, any chemical. All you're doing is you're triggering that own your own skin to work to heal a wound. So it's going to trigger what it would need to heal a wound, which is, triggering that new healthy cell growth and the collagen elastin and the hyaluronic acid and all of that.
I have never experienced microneedling. It is on my list. I want to do
Well,
it
come on down.
and just I've never done it. I don't know why I'm like nervous about it, and I know that's silly and I shouldn't be, but I need to.
No, some people don't like needles. So other treatments are great as well. LED and microcurrent. Those both stimulate ATP. So ATP, remember, is that cellular energy that greatly decreases as we age. So those are two modalities that increase that ATP. I love to incorporate LED into my facials. And then microcurrent, I probably do less often, but it's still a great treatment and great for those that want to see that immediate firming and tightness to the skin.
Perfect.
There are also laser treatments that can be done. There is anything from very superficial lasers to very deep lasers. But how the resurfacing lasers work is they kind of work like microneedling. Most of them are fractionated now, which means only portions of the skin are treated. So, kind of like microneedling, you have healthy skin left behind, you have areas of injured skin. So, by leaving that healthy skin behind, the healthy skin helps to heal and send in the messages to heal the damaged skin and to help to make the skin in an overall healthier, more youthful, tighter, smoother state.
When might it be best for people to start switching over to, because like you said, like when you're like really young, I feel like there's that time where you're really focused on prejuvenation, and then like there's that kind of switch when you have to start doing treatments that are really targeting this kind of stuff. So is there kind of like an age range, or is it more like,
I think it's about 40.
About
40. Fractionated microneedling RF, or RF microneedling.
Ooh.
That is huge right now.
Is it?
So RF microneedling is great. It helps to tighten the skin, helps to trigger collagen elastin production. And it really, it works really well, but you have to go to a trained professional. Just make sure you know who you're going to and that they have a reputable device, because now they're selling devices all over. And the thing is with radio frequency is if you go too deep, that radio frequency will burn, will heat up the subcutaneous fat, and then you're going to lose volume in your face. So as long as you trust the provider is going the right depth in your skin and not going too far where it's going to cause that loss of subcutaneous fat, then it's a great treatment.
Are there any like kind of like home care kind of treatments too, or is it like mainly focused on those ingredients? Does that make sense?
Oh, home care is good as well. I mean, like home care treatments, I always say they're more of an add-on to the treatments that you get in the office. They're not going to replace what you're doing in the treatment room, but it doesn't hurt to do LED at home, to do microcurrent at home. We have a device they have a device with Environ. It's Sano and iontophoresis that drives products into the skin. Home microneedling is also good. So when you're doing the cosmetic microneedling, so cosmetic microneedling is different than medical, than the treatment that I was talking about. Cosmetic needling is under 0.3 millimeters, and it's basically used to enhance product penetration. So it's not going to stimulate collagen or elastin, but what it's going to do is you go over your whole face with the roller, and it makes micro channels in the skin for those products to penetrate up to 100 times more effectively.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. That's really good.
So microneedling is a great thing to add on to, especially when you start seeing those signs of aging. Like, you know, I've been using it more. You know, I've had it for a while, but like, you know, you start seeing those lines and stuff, and you're like, you get your roller out. Don't do it like that. I'm just joking.
Just really like scrub. Nope.
No, don't do that. Absolutely not.
That would not be good.
Oh no.
Your skin would not thank you for that.
No, but anything you can do to help to stimulate circulation at home, like even doing a little bit of facial massage at home at night when you're putting on your products. I always tell my clients to do a little massage around their eyes, especially because your eyes don't get a lot of movement around there. And that helps to, you know, with increasing circulation, you can help to decrease those dark circles, puffiness, things like that.
Yeah. As well. What about like gua sha and stuff? Yeah.
The what?
Gua sha and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Gua sha is awesome. And, you know, you want to relax too. Like you want to relax your skin and relax your body, because stress can definitely trigger inflammation, which triggers aging as well.
Last year, I know there was a huge shift where a lot of spas and a lot of skincare brands were trying to take the term anti-aging like out of their practice, out of their branding, out of their like stuff like that. So I don't know. I just wanted to talk about it and like get your insight and like intake on it, because I feel like cellular aging is different because it's not anti-aging. It's like,
yeah, I feel like it's different
for your cells.
Yeah. Anti-aging, I just feel like, yeah, it's kind of like you're not aging, but like everyone's aging. So yeah, it's more about aging gracefully, but cellular aging, there's nothing we can do about for the most. I mean, there is to, you know, keep ourselves in the most healthy state we can.
Yeah.
But besides that, our cells are going to age just like we're going to age. And, you know, there's only so much we can do on the outside. We don't want to look fake and plasticky.
Yeah.
And, you know, we want to age gracefully. So doing these treatments that are just going to stimulate your collagen and improve your texture and soften fine lines and wrinkles, you know, you're going to look healthier and better, but you don't need to look essentially like you're 20 when you're 50.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to, but
I mean, it'd be really nice.
I'd be really nice, but it'd be kind of weird when people say how old I
am. Yeah, true. True.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird when you're like pulling from a dating pool, people way younger than you.
Yeah.
No, but I feel like cellular aging works so well, like kind of like discussing aging at this standpoint kind of works so well with it too, because you bring in a lot of the lifestyle, you bring in a lot. And like the problem with anti-aging was kind of like it has this negative connotation to aging, and it would, you know, almost make people feel bad about aging, which is just a natural thing that everybody does.
Right.
And so it kind of turned into healthy aging and modern day aging were like new terms that people like to use. And I feel like cellular aging is also kind of a nice mix in the bunch, because it's the same. It's like much more about like your lifestyle and like taking care of yourself. It's not about necessarily like the cosmetic look. Like, I mean. All right. Well, that pretty much wraps up our discussion on cellular aging. But I did want to do just a little moment of final thoughts with Terry, just to let her, you know, share anything else that we didn't really get to in the podcast, anything else she wanted to like share with you guys, so you know. So final thoughts, Terry, go.
Final thoughts. If anyone has any questions, you can reach out to me on social media. At Instagram, Terry Wojak 12, Facebook, Aesthetics Exposed, or Terry Wojak. But I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have. And I do have classes available online at aestheticsexposed.com, and that's aesthetics with an A. And then, so I have online classes available, and then I have a few in-person classes, but I will have more in a few weeks for the rest of the year. And they're mostly going to be in the Chicagoland area, but I have one kind of coming up in Wyoming, Casper, Wyoming, in March. I'm doing that one with Shauna Rocha from Hale & Hutch, so that'll be nice. And yeah, so I hope to see some of you in class, and thanks for having me.
That's so fun. I love Shauna.
She's awesome.
But no, thank you so much, Terry. This was like super insightful. I know we all love to put our little science nerds hats on, so I know this was a super fun topic. But no, this was really fun. Thank you so much for spending the last like hour-ish with me talking all things aging. But yeah, so that wraps up this episode, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. As per usual, this is my time to shameless plug. Please follow the podcast if you aren't. We hope you enjoyed listening. You can find us on Spotify, as well as Amazon Music. If you are more of an Amazon Music person, we are also over there. So make sure to like, follow, do all the things, interact with us. Let us know what you guys want us to talk about on the podcast. But yeah, so thanks for tuning in, and we will talk to you later. Bye, SD Besties.